My dear brothers and sisters, if I were to ask for a show of hands, as I sometimes do for the students in school, and I was to ask how many people here have ever been hurt by another person, I would expect to see 100% of the hands raised. And if I were to ask a follow-up question, how many, after having been hurt, found it difficult to forgive the person who hurt you, I think I would probably also find 100% of hands raised, unless someone was willing to tell a fib. On the natural level, if someone punches me in the gut, I want to punch right back, preferably harder. That's the natural level. And as the second reading told us, the first Adam is of the earth, but the second Adam comes from heaven. And you and I, by the mystery of Christ's incarnation, by the mystery of our baptism, we are called to a supernatural life of grace and not just to live on that earthly level where we punch each other. Today's gospel is one of the most challenging passages in the entire scripture. Love your enemies. To a Ukrainian, that might mean loving a Russian. But let's be clear, we don't have to have the threat of war to have enemies. Anyone who has hurt us is our enemy. And sometimes that means that we look across the breakfast room table and we see enemies. Because no one can hurt us like the people who are closest to us. The people before whom we don't feel the need to raise up strong defensive walls. The people with whom we've entered into a relationship that requires being vulnerable to one another. There is where the most painful wounds can emerge. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. This is the way of Jesus. And it's not just the words he spoke, it's the life he lived. It's the death he died. The love of enemies. That's what St. Paul would say when speaking of Christ, that he died for us while we were still his enemies. That is, while we were still in sin. It's what we experience every time we go to confession, that we who have turned away from the Lord, we don't find a lightning bolt waiting for us. We find a merciful embrace. And this is what, in order to live this, to accept this as a disciple of Jesus, this hard teaching, we need to remember how our God sees us. That the sins that we have committed have made us his enemies. And he responds with loving forgiveness. And we sin again. And he responds with patience. And we sin again. And he responds with compassion for our weakness. And we sin again and we become discouraged that we have sinned again. And he brings us hope. For his love is unconditional. His love is infinite. So let me ask you a question. Let's say you decided to buy a Powerball ticket, and it's a nice big round number. Oh, I don't know, let's say 100 million. And it turns out that your number wins. And on your way out from collecting, you come across a person on the street corner who says, "Buddy, can you give me $5? Well, maybe on a normal day, you would have brushed this person off. You would have carried on. But just maybe that $100 million you've got that's just been transferred into your bank account, maybe that changes your perspective on the $5 that the person's asking for. Maybe the fact that you didn't earn that $100 million, maybe that helps you to get over the fact that this person's not doing something to deserve it from you. And maybe, just maybe, your heart is moved out of gratitude for your blessings that you say, "Buddy, take a 20. That, my dear brothers and sisters, is how you and I have to view the mercy of God. 100 million doesn't even come close to an approximate valuation of the blessing of God's mercy that you and I have received. You and I are loved without limit. Here on earth, we are very poor at loving one another. And every time we experience the pain of that brokenness of our world, of the messiness of relationships, every time it seems that our life is deprived of love from the people from whom we should have a right to expect it, every time we're ready to get discouraged, we need to pause and remember, I am loved. I am loved infinitely. I am loved unconditionally. And when God looks upon our lives and he sees our pain, he sees our tears, he invites us, "Let me make it up to you. Come closer. I have enough love for you to more than compensate for the love that those other people should have given you. Your life is not empty. Your life is not capable of holding all the love I want to give you. And that's why I want to share with you eternal life. Because only in a life without end can we receive a love without limit." God loves us. And he weeps at the ways that we do not love one another. But God wishes to show us a new path, the path of grace, which does not perpetuate the cycle of unlovingness, but reverses it. A path which invites us to bless those who curse us and to love our enemies. Not because they deserve it, but because our hearts are full of love, even when they don't love us. So I just invite you to think about a couple of ways that you and I need to dig into our hearts to prepare ourselves for that way of love. Because we are selective in the way we behave. I'm going to love these people and not those people. We select. But Jesus teaches us to love everyone. That even the pagans, even sinners, love those who love them. We are called to be reckless in loving as our God is reckless in loving us. So, to begin this path, first we have to overcome selective hearing. We love to hear when Jesus says all those nice, warm, and fuzzy things. We need to hear the entirety of the gospel, where Jesus has said, not just in this passage, but in so many other places, including when he's asked by his disciples how to pray, teach us how to pray. In there is that line, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God lavishes his mercy upon us, but he wants us to be generous in sharing that mercy with one another. You and I need to hear the entirety of the gospel, even those parts which challenge and stretch us. And when it seems, Lord, I can't. Lord, it hurts too much. Pray. Pray. Seek his grace. On the natural level, yes, maybe I can't. But we don't live solely by nature. We have been given grace. Dear Jesus, I look at that person. I don't know how I could love that person. But I know that you love that person so much that you would have gone to your cross just for that person whom I don't love. So, dear Jesus, let me borrow some of the love of your Sacred Heart for that person. Because in my own heart, I can't find it. So let me borrow it from your heart. And from beginning to hear how Jesus is calling us to love as he loves, we begin to overcome selective seeing. That is, oh, I can walk in the room and I can tell you everything wrong. I can remember back on relationships and I can count every wound. But we're selective. We see people's bad faults. Do they see their good qualities as well? Or have we been blinded to them? We remember the wounds. Do we remember the blessings? Selective sight hinders us from appreciating the other person and seeing them as God sees them, as worthy of love, as worthy of our love. The other problem with selective sight, I forget to look at my faults. I can tell you all about yours. But I don't look at mine. I don't see the ways that I have failed to love. I don't even dare imagine the ways that my actions, intentional or unintentional, have hurt others. Because if I saw, I couldn't be begrudging at forgiving others, because I know how much I need forgiveness. And that's where we come back to the Lord. He sees every one of my flaws, every one of my mistakes, every one of my sins. He sees them though I don't. And He still loves me with a love that never ends, with a love that is capable of healing those wounds of how others have not loved as they should. And we come to gratitude. In the end, the only motive capable of pushing us into this way of loving our enemies is gratitude that I, who have been an enemy of God more times than I would care to count, I have been loved mercifully. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you for washing away my sins. Thank you for giving me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a millionth chance and a 10 millionth chance and even more than 100 million chances. Thank you. Now help me, out of the gifts that I have received of your mercy, to share that mercy generously with those around me.